penalty is paid. You're forgiven. Come on home. That's grace.
Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about my sins versus His steadfast love and faithfulness. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest." I don't know any heavier burden than guilt. Am I talking to someone today who is bearing a very heavy burden of guilt? My purpose in this little radio program called Gateway to Joy is fairly well expressed in Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. I will sing the story of Thy love, O Lord, forever. I will proclaim Thy faithfulness to all generations. Thy true love is firm as the ancient earth, Thy faithfulness fixed as the heavens. That's what I want to remind you of today. God's love, God's faithfulness, in contrast with your sin. We all need constant encouragement. We need repetition. Of course we do. We need to be told over and over again the old, old story. I remember my husband, Ad Leach, preached the most wonderful sermon that I have ever heard on the subject of grace. He told a story about when he and his new wife and his new baby were sitting at their dining room table one day, looking out the picture window. There were two boys, and they were shooting at the pears in the pear tree. No, I think he said they were shooting at a bird, yes, because I remember the way Ad told the story was, "I would wish I could say it were a partridge, that it was a partridge in the pear tree, but it was just a bird." And these boys were shooting firing slingshots at the bird in the pear tree. And my husband was sitting there getting cold chills, picturing one of those stones coming through his nice, shiny, new picture window. And guess what happened? Well, exactly that. The window was shattered, and the boys raced away to hide. He said one of the boys' names, I think, was Jim Miller. And Jim Miller, who had always been a good friend of his, just a little kid, maybe 8 or 9 years old, but used to come around a lot to see Mr. Leach, he never saw Jim Miller for days, except running. He said, when I would see Jim, Jim had always seen me first, and he was always running in the other direction. But he said, one day, I saw Jim first. And he said, I got up to Jim, and I grabbed him by the elbow, and Jim was scared to death, tried to wrench his arm away to run again. And I said, Jim, hold on. I want to tell you something. The window's fixed. It's paid for. Why don't you come on home? Now, these boys used to play baseball in my husband's yard, and since they broke the window, there was no more playing baseball in the yard. So that's what he meant by, why don't you come on home? And he said the boy wrenched out of his grasp and raced away again. And this happened several times. And he said, what could I say to the boy except to tell him the old, old story? The penalty is paid. You're forgiven. Come on home. That's grace. And that's what God is saying to you and me. It's been paid for. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a guilty stain. He washed it white as snow. He tells us that we must repent. And that means confess your sin and turn around and go the other direction. Confess your sin and quit it, in other words. I was talking with my dear friend, Eleanor Vandevort. She's been my friend since we were college students, and I always call her Van. And Van has a lot of old wisdom. She knows her Bible, I think, better than I do. And I was talking with her about judgment and about that scary passage that says, nothing is hidden which will not be revealed. Nothing has been covered up which will not be shouted from the housetops. And I thought of my own sins. I tremble to think of their being shouted from the housetops and revealed. And you know what Van brought to my attention? That beautiful story of the woman with the issue of blood in Matthew 9:20. The story of this woman who, even in the midst of a big crowd, in her desperation to be healed, came forward, even though she had had this hemorrhage for years and had spent all her savings on doctors, and nobody had been able to help her. And she thought to herself, if I can only touch his cloak, I'll be cured. But Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, my daughter, your faith has cured you. And from that moment, she recovered. She was willing to bear the shame publicly in order to come to Jesus. And he tells her that she's cured. And then Van also mentioned the woman with the alabaster box in Matthew 26. The story says Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper when a woman came to him with a small bottle of fragrant oil, very costly. And as he sat at table, she began to pour it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw it. Why this waste, they said. It could have been sold for a good sum and the money given to the poor. Jesus was aware of this, and he said to them, why must you make trouble for the woman? It's a fine thing she has done for me. You have the poor among you always, but you will not always have me. When she poured this oil on my body, it was her way of preparing me for burial. And there's a slightly different story in Mark 14. He says, she has done what lay in her power. She is beforehand with anointing my body for burial. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in all the world, what she has done will be told as her memorial. And this woman, who was considered to be a cheap woman by the men in that company, and undoubtedly there were only men reclining around that table, she had to bear the blame and the shame. She had to summon up the courage to come to Jesus, knowing that her sin was public knowledge. And what Van pointed out to me was that even though her sin was public knowledge, even though the woman with the hemorrhage may have had to come forward in an embarrassing condition, she knew that she had the protection of Jesus. And Van said, when I think of those words that scare you about the hidden things being shouted from the housetops, I don't know what that means. I don't know when that's supposed to happen. And I don't know whether it literally includes all the sins that have ever been committed, whether by Christians or non-Christians. She says, I only know, I believe, that in that day, we will have the protection of Jesus. There will be no need for fear. It might even be that some of the men in this house where the woman came in with her bottle of precious perfume had used this woman themselves for sexual satisfaction. It may be that they knew her very well, but she had the protection of Jesus. And when I look back over my past, as I can't help doing from time to time, and think of some of the worst things that I have done and some of the ways in which I have hurt other people, I think of a gospel song that I heard once sung as a solo. I look not back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted toil, the sinning, the regrets. I leave it all with him who blots the record and graciously forgives and then forgets. I'm sure that I'm talking to some prisoners today. I receive many letters from prisoners. You're in prison because of some sin, presumably, unless you're innocent. And you know and God knows if you're innocent. Unfortunately, the sin that you committed was the kind that gets you put behind bars. Most of the sins in the world don't get us put behind bars. But the Bible says that sin does pay, and the wages of sin is death. That means eternal death, much worse than prison. None of us has to die that eternal death if we come under the protection of Jesus, if we ask Him to cover us with that precious blood that flowed on Calvary. That's the old story. What can I tell you? What can the Holy Spirit tell me when I start to think about my sins? But the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. I look not back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted toil, the sinning, the regrets. I leave it all with Him who blots the record and graciously forgives and then forgets. We can forgive someone who has sinned against us. It's a whole lot harder to forget, isn't it? God both forgives and forgets. I love what Corrie ten Boom said. When God casts all of our sins into the depths of the sea, as the Bible says He does, then, as Corrie says, He puts up a sign that says, "No fishing."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.